The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered. For you have been granted an audience with the Masters of
Modern. And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? We're here. We're ready to talk to you about MTG.
That's Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. I've had
Don't
to introduce...
Call it MTG. It's like when we did top decking, we like put that as a thing that people, our characters said.
Yeah.
And like every time they said it, was like, oh, that's not a thing people actually say. Like people that actually play Magic are like... Gonna go hit up some MTG this weekend. They say Magic.
I have introduced daily content now on Anchor so many, like hundreds of times now, that I've like, I like mess up intros on other things by just like defaulting sentences into, you know what I mean? Like, this is the only place to hear about MTG daily. And it's just like, stop saying that same phrase over and over again. Cause if you teach yourself, anyway.
That's why I do it differently every time.
Yeah, you're exciting.
After the first month of doing it four times, I got bored and started messing with it.
You're a living, breathing curveball. So, guys, we're here to talk Magic.
This is a sports reference. I don't get it.
This is a podcast where we talk about the modern format and MTG, Magic the Gathering. That's what that is. And Alex and myself are going to talk to you today about cycles of iconic cards in Modern. What that means is the best, basically the iconic one drop, two drop, and three drop in each color. We've had this conversation about two drops a lot, like the whole like Dark Confidant.
Well, it's a classic conversation, and like it's, you know, we'll point out when we can when it comes to Magic as a whole, because I think there's a different list for Magic across the board, including Legacy, Commander, whatever, and looking specifically at Magic from the Modern perspective, which is what this podcast is about.
What's interesting about that too is that I think the further we get away from Modern's inception, right, the further we get away, and like the more cards that get printed, the more cards they get reprinted, the more it starts to really feel like we're not missing that much anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it used to feel like Modern was like expansive, but still a little bit narrow, like when it had started. It's like, okay, there's all these older cards that are really cool. It's like more and more of those cards are getting reprinted, or they're becoming like, sort of obsolete in the sense that it doesn't feel like this format doesn't include that many important cards. There's like not, there's the classic, there's the power, and there's a few legacy cards that we don't have. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, it's just, this is the most powerful stuff in Magic.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, there's cards that are banned. There's the Force of Wills and the Wastelands and the Rainstorms of the World.
Right.
Now that Jason's Bloodbraid Belfer back, it definitely does feel like the key cards of history that aren't available, a lot of them aren't available anywhere. You know, like the Delve cards are banned in all formats, included Restricted and Vintage. So,
right.
Like, what are we really missing? Top's banned in every format. You know, there's really not a lot that other formats have access to. Now, there are key cards... and that includes stuff like just like format defining stuff. You know, I was literally talking about this morning about how I was trying to make that Opalescence Leyline deck work from Legacy.
Yeah.
But the fact that we don't have, you know, Serra Sanctum, which is just not a card that's that good in Legacy,
right.
But we're missing that key
piece.
We
also don't have Opalescence. We have the other one.
No, we have the new one. The Starfield one.
Yeah, Starfield next. But it costs 5 versus 4, which is a significant difference.
Yeah, but if I had Leyline of Sanctum, I'd be able to get into it. Modern's
if you had Serra Sanctum, you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. But anyway, yeah, I think it's really cool. And so this conversation will mostly include, we'll pretty much be talking about Modern. We'll dip into, I think, other formats briefly if there's like a point to it. But that's what today's episode is about. Before we get into the content, I want to remind everybody here, there's a couple shout outs. First one, if you want to follow along with us, you can find us on Twitter. I'm Ben Bateman Media.
I am at Kess Wiley.
You can find the podcast at the MMCast. We have a Facebook group and a Facebook page, both
like
of which get a tremendous amount of interaction. There's a lot of really fun stuff in there. So check those out. And a big thing that's recently new is that Wizardry Foundry, who's a former sponsor of the show, actually hired me to keep 10 Minutes of Modern going. So I'm doing 10 Minutes of Modern, but I'm doing it now as Facebook videos on Wizardry Foundry's Facebook page. So if you guys liked the daily content, but you hated dealing with Anchor, which I know people did, and I still am on Anchor, by the way, it's a different thing I'll talk about later, go check out Wizardry Foundry. You can like get great products, but I'm doing daily content about Modern. I put up the thing today about, is Mox Amber any good? Like, it's fun. So if you want to go check it out, go to Wizardry Foundry and do that.
And what I'm about to say is going to sound a little bit like a commercial, because it's not, because I have nothing to do with what you just talked about as far as financial incentives. So I'm just saying this because I can. But they make the Grimoire box.
Yeah.
And in our apartment, we have a guest room with a closet, and that closet is where I store my magic collection. And my fiance is regularly yelling at me because I have so much stuff, because I'm a collector of things, mostly magic. And she thinks the fact that I have an entire closet designated myself that is not my clothing closet is ridiculous. And I've started calling it my library, and it's useful because I keep some of these cards in Grimoire deck boxes, which look like big leather-bound books.
Yeah.
So it's like, look, books, library, done.
Yeah.
So if you want to call your magic connection, your collection, your library.
Yeah.
Grimoire, Wizardry Foundry, 10 minutes of magic.
And the last shout out of 10 minutes of modern is, guys, we're going to be doing that same giveaway we did before, where I had like a bunch of sweet foils to give away. I'm going to do it again. I'm doing it if you go there. So stay tuned. Go check it out. I'll be talking about it on all the videos. It's going to be something simple, like commenting and liking, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win like a foil Jace or a foil Scalding Tarn or whatever. I'll be doing that soon. So check it out. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on with the episode today.
This all kind of started on Twitter because I just started posting things. I got the app. There's an app that is a part of Instagram that allows you to kind of like combine multiple pictures into one picture.
Okay, yeah,
it's
I saw
like,
that.
It's not like Photoshop, but it like lets you do that. And I've been using it recently to just post fun things. And I was like, you know, I know the iconic two-drop cycle is a big thing, but I think there's a one-drop cycle.
Before we, just because this is a subject we've talked about a lot,
yes.
So let's like preface exactly what we mean in case you guys are listening and you're unclear. So historically, this conversation goes like this. In modern...
Or in Magic.
Yeah, and specifically in modern, because Stoneforge Mystic is not legal, we would always talk about the four that were clear, right? The four were Dark Confidant in black, Snapcaster Mage in blue, Tarmogoyf in green, and what did I forget? And
Young Pyromancer in red. Well, I mean, like, classically, to go farther back, the world of Magic has been talking about this two-drop cycle forever, and it was always about, like, when are they going to print the red one? Because, you know, there wasn't a red one. There was a point in Legacy before Modern existed where literally every single deck in the format was pick two and go. And it was Tarmogoyf, Stoneforge Mystic,
Snapcaster
Mage, and Dark Confidant.
Yes.
And, you know, when is the red one going to exist? And then they printed Young Pyromancer as a uncommon, which I think is the greatest mistake Wizards has ever made.
It just threw people off, that's all. Yeah.
So forever the debate was, you know, is this the fifth card? It, you know, it was almost powerful enough. It showed up in a ton of decks, but not really. It was never a format standard defining card like the other cards necessarily were. So it was this, in this weird position.
Let's list some of the red cards that they've printed that we've been like, is that the card? Because like it feels like they tried it with Abbot of Carol Keep.
Abbot of Carol Keep, everyone was like, it's it. This is it.
Didn't
get ready.
Happen. Recently, Harsh Mentor, that didn't work.
Harsh Mentor, everyone was hyped on.
I think the closest is Eidolon Great Revel.
Except it just only sees play and burn.
And it costs red, and it's like an enchantment creature. It just doesn't feel right.
Right. If it cost red one,
yeah.
It would immediately be it to me, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like the enchantment creature thing, the other cards are weird. Like there's two of them are what's it called, cards? Cards made by winners of the Invitational.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
Tarmogoyf was a Future Sight card with the weird border for like 10 years. So, like, the fact that it's an enchantment creature almost makes it make sense to be one of those things. It's just it's not versatile enough.
Yeah. So, they'll try. They print because this is the people that play Magic, spoiler, get hired to make Magic. So, if you play a lot of Magic and you love the way the cards feel and look and like, then you get hired and you go and you're like, I want to make the red 2-drop that fits this cycle because it's missing. So,
a lot of the cards on this list were probably mistakes. Snapcaster Mage should have been red. Tarmogoyf shouldn't have had the +1 in its toughness.
Right.
Dark Confidant was probably undercosted. Stoneforge Mystic shouldn't have been printed within a year of an equipment themed set.
Yeah, for sure.
So like these are cards that like Wizards has gone on the record being like, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's hard for them to purposely print a red 2-drop. That breaks modern or breaks standard just for the sake of completing this cycle that isn't a real thing.
For sure. And I think, you know, now it's been enough time that when you have the right cards legal, when they don't ban the cards out from under us, Young Pyromancer functions as the red 2-drop that creates card advantage. So, like, we've seen it now in the finals of a Pro Tour recently. Mm-hmm. You know, if like, they had to ban Gitaxian Probe. They had to ban Treasure Cruise. They've had to get rid of cards to make this card less good. Mm-hmm. It's not the reason they banned them, But if you don't ban those cards, this card is just like a shoe-in staple in top
right,
decks
yeah,
all the
time. It's kind of like it's like the redheaded stepchild, and the pun there being it's a red card.
Yeah, that's good. That was funny.
And because just like it's always in decks that like end up, you know, getting cards banned out from under them just because it's in a – the more spells that matter,
yep,
the better are right. decks that often get hated out by Wizards. And – but I think it's time to submit it. I think its Pro Tour finish for me is what kind of locked it into there for me.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And that Pro Tour deck it was in is so different than the other decks it's ever been in. Because classically, it's in blue-red X decks where yep. you're casting cantrips, and you get 1/1s off of those cantrips, and it's good. Mardu was so different from that game plan, and it's more of a token strategy that it finally, to me, cemented itself as, you know what, this works in multiple different strategies. And it's just the best card in those decks. Unlike Eidolon, which only works in burn decks.
Yeah, and also I think like the really interesting thing about that is that it takes advantage of the Mardu deck. I mean, takes advantage of like weird other ways to get the version of the blue red effect. So like for instance, like Collective Brutality having effectively like multiple spells packed into one spell means that like
kind of a cantrip,
and because you're playing with flashback spells, you're getting that same sort of. So like it's
and
sort
I've,
of.
I've always thought that Young Pyromancer and Lingering Souls together makes sense. Like
Smuggler's Copter.
So yeah, I think it definitely has cemented itself in there. So that's the five iconics of Magic. So it's the original two drop iconic spells are Stoneforge Mystic, Young Pyromancer, Dark Confidant, Tarmogoyf, and Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah,
and
it's I think when we say the iconics, what we mean is like you get the most bang for your buck in powered formats with two drop creatures. It's like
and they're very representative of those colors.
Yeah, totally.
Like you know, red cares about spells and damage. Snapcast, you know, blue cares about instant speed and outsmarting their opponents.
And, yeah, reactivity.
But you know, black cares about gaining more advantage through pain.
Yeah,
you know, white is about making its smaller creatures more powerful and. I missed a color.
Green is
just about beef.
Yeah.
Sick. Good slice of beef.
So that's today's conversation. So we've already kind of introduced where the conversation has been in the past. But the reason we decided to do this today is because
I'm argumentative on Twitter.
Yes, that's true. But also because you brought something to my attention that I really hadn't thought about in the context of because it's a little bit of a weird thing to like
yeah.
I think yeah. But it's true. And it's that white actually has a modern legal two drop that fits the cycle now.
Yeah, so because Stoneforge Mystic is banned, and hopefully it gets unbanned one day. I mean, I feel like the fact that Jace has been so consistently underpowered makes me reevaluate every card on the ban list even harder than I did before. But because it's not there, you know, if we wanted to focus on Modern, four of these cards are legal and one isn't.
Right.
And today's episode is going to be about listing specifically the Modern legal ones. And if Stoneforge Mystic isn't legal, what is the white two-drop?
And I think it's pretty clear what it is.
It is Thalia, Garden of Thraben.
And this is so interesting, right? Because, like, it's a legendary creature, but it's a two-drop legendary. And, like, I think the idea that you'd want to play a deck, like, people did it, but the idea that you would play a deck with three or four copies of this in the main deck, and that would just be, like, the right move, like, mm-hmm. just a tier one strategy, was always a little bit like, you don't want two of these in your opening hand. So,
right.
And it's annoying to have two of these in your opening hand. And so people would play with one or two in Hate Bears decks. And the humans deck they've been playing four or three for a long time.
And Hate Bears has played four for a long time as well. Because there's two things. It had a little bit of the Vendilion Click effect,
right?
Where it's a 2/1, so it's relatively fragile.
Right.
It's a 2/1 first strike, so but like it's still like a relatively fragile card, and so the chances of it dying, and it's a must kill for decks that are trying to kill creatures.
Right.
Having a second one immediately to follow that up just makes people's lives that much harder.
Here's a question for you: do you think that if Thalia cost Or do you think that if Thalia didn't have first strike, how much worse on a percentage scale do you think she is?
10%.
10%. But still, but she's still like very good, just not like the kind of insane level.
Yeah, maybe it's 20%. Like I think she becomes more format dependent. Like how many one ones are seeing play that are really relevant. Like the point is she's like really good against Lingering Souls.
What if she wasn't legendary, didn't have first strike?
She would be much better.
Got it. Okay. Fair enough.
All of your opponent's spells cost two more to cast.
Yeah.
And you get 2/2 ones.
Yeah, who cares about first strike at that point?
Yeah. You're not casting spells ever again.
Yeah.
So, and when we, you know, what we talked about before, you know, we want these cards to be representative of those colors, and Thalia protects your creatures, supports creatures in a strong way, which is a very white effect, and it's just a 2/1 first strike, which is one of the most white things I've ever heard of. So, you know, I definitely think she is the new white two drop, and it's in a good place. I think that's really exciting. She's also like, you know, the other half of this conversation is that, and that's why like young Pyromancer not being red annoys me, is they should have some expense behind them. And Thalia now being at $30 kind of brings it to
it's
that like 50, level.
It's down to $15 now.
Okay.
Because of the reprint.
Oh, right.
It just got reprinted. Yeah. But yeah, it was up to 30 for a while.
And so I think, yeah, and it's just an iconic card. People really relate to it.
Yeah.
That's two drops. And then after having this conversation about two drops, we're like, what about the other converted mana costs? And technically, I started at one drops. I thought, you know, there's been this two drop conversation for a long time. And there wasn't really a one drop one, but very recently.
And well, just before we move on from two drops,
sure.
I think like that's pretty clear at this point. None of the other so Snapcaster Mage, Tarmogoyf, Dark Confidant. I think even though Tarmogoyf is down right now, those are clearly still the three for their colors, right? Yeah. No question.
Yeah.
So Stoneforge Mystic, if it came back, we'd have to figure out what's the one. Like, what would people do with it? I think it would probably replace Thalia, but I'm not sure. Thalia is really, really good right now. And in red, I think we both pretty much wholeheartedly agree Young Pyro is the card.
Yeah, I think Thalia would fall off, because the one thing that I do also think that these cards should have, and Thalia puts a little bit wrench of this definition to me, is the ability of pick two, deck is built.
Right.
And like, you know, if Stoneforge Mystic is here, you could really be like, okay, Tarmogoyf is Stoneforge Mystic, that's a deck. Stoneforge Mystic and Snapcaster Mage, that's a deck. Stoneforge Mystic and Bob, that's a deck. Like, all of these are different actual decks that you just can combine in any direction. Thalia does not work with Young Pyromancer or Snapcaster Mage. They're just cards that do not go together.
That's interesting. There's a tension there between those.
So that doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't work. That's a very specific definition that isn't necessary for what we're talking about. But it is something that, if Stoneforge Mystic was back, I would say is more true than it is now.
So we're going to talk about now the one drop cycle. And before we do, I want to remind everybody who's listening, we have a Patreon. And a bunch of you guys donate to it, which is really nice of you. You are listening to us on a Zoom. That's a product that you can record audio on. We bought it because you guys gave us Patreon money. That's how we did it. The mics you're hearing, we bought these. We need your help to keep the show going. We basically don't advertise. We don't monetize for the most part, aside from like a little bit here and there. So if you guys want to help us out, Patreon is the best way to do it. That's the way to keep this content coming. We really appreciate you guys that are doing it. Patreon.com/TheMMCast. That's what I wanted to say.
Right.
One drop.
One other thing. We have a sister podcast. They're the Command Zone.
Yeah.
They have a show called Game Nights. We may know a person who has a good time there, and I recommend watching it. If it's on YouTube, they have lots of views. It's very exciting. And I was on an episode a long time ago. And you should check that one out specifically, because I wrecked face.
Yeah, you were good. I don't play Commander, so this is my subtle plug, guys. I'll learn it, okay? Just bring me on the show. Come on.
One day, Ben.
Someday. I'll build my Sig deck.
You were in their video. The
Comic-Con one.
The best.
Not Comic-Con.
The GP Vegas one.
And then I was in their 200th episode.
That's what I'm saying. You were in the 200th episode because you made a Commander deck for GP Vegas and played against them and had a great time.
I've continued to work on my Sig deck. I actually have the file on my phone. I go back to it frequently.
Everyone tweet at Ben Sig River Cutthroat deck ideas for Commander.
Yeah, I've got a sick idea for a deck. I've got some really cool stuff.
All so, right. One drops.
Yeah,
let's all five. One drops. Get ready. Get hyped. So for some of these, before we get too into it, the reason we stopped is because for two drops and three drops, there is an artifact iconic card. There is not one for one drops. It doesn't exist. There's no good one drop creature.
Chronomaton, anyone?
The best is Signal Pest, and I don't think that counts.
Yeah, or
like two has Ravager. I think Ravager is by far the best two drop.
What
artifact.
About my boy Hex Parasite?
No. I also think your boy Spellskite could have been the two drop one.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. How the mighty have
three
fallen.
Drop. Three drop has the guy that gets protection from all colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Edge Champion. They're just all affinity cards. Unsurprisingly.
Well, Spellskite's not. But yeah. But we're not doing those because it's weird and complicated and who knows. And one drops definitely don't have one. It's not Bomat Courier. I'll let you know.
I love Bomat Courier.
But five drops. Now, this is there's two. Every set has one. And there's two of these things. The first one is every set has a questionable one. Okay. And every set has an uncommon one of these. When we go through these, it'll be true all the way through. Two drops just happens to be the same one. Young Pyromancer is both the questionable one and the uncommon one. In one drops, that's not true. So we have the obvious three. Noble Hierarch for green.
Yep.
Goblin Guide for red. Death Shadows for black.
I think that's fair.
When we discuss, there's not one person who's come up with something better.
So that's your three, and you're saying that...
White is the debatable... the power level of this card is questionable, and blue is the uncommon.
Got it.
Blue is Delver of Secrets.
Yes.
And I don't think a single person can...
Phantasmal Baron? I don't know.
Yeah, I think of these four, Noble Hierarch, Goblin Guide, and Delver of Secrets are the same for both formats. I think for all of Magic history and for also this format of Modern,
yep,
they're the iconic one-drop.
Totally.
Death Shadow, I believe, is in both. I don't know what other one-drop black creature in Legacy might replace Death Shadow.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I don't know if, like I know Deathrite Shaman doesn't count. It's a gold card.
Yeah, it's fair, because that would 100% be a card. There's no other black one-drop that's, like...
In Legacy. So I think, like, I'm safe to say until the internet yells at me that Death Shadow is just it for both versions of the cycle, but definitely easy for Modern. It's been a format-defining...
Staple powerhouse.
One-drop black creature for at least 2 years now, and there's no other second place. There's not, like, a better one-drop. But, like, Viscera Seer is the only thing I can think of beyond that, and no. and white. In the five, in the all-time category, white is Mother of Runes.
Yes, that's fair. So, and we've talked about that card in Modern. Like, should they put it into Modern?
No.
Yeah, it's a really powerful card.
It's really good. And so when you look at the whole, all of Magic, that makes sense. When you bring it to creatures and Modern, you got, it's a harder pick. I have Champion of the Parish. For those who don't know, it's a one white human. Whenever a human enters the battlefield, it gets +1/+1.
That's like such, that just doesn't feel like real.
It's in humans, which is the best deck in Modern right now.
It's good.
It's been in decks forever as just like the most powerful one drop white creature. Like, I can't think of a better option. As Ben looks through his phone,
Children of Corliss, maybe? I don't know.
Like Martyr of Sands or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the different Soul Sisters cards are all one drops, but I don't think that works.
No.
They're relatively interchangeable. B, they're only in one deck ever versus Champion of the Parish, which is in Soul Sisters and humans.
You're talking like, so you already mentioned like Steplinks, right? That's like,
yeah,
that's,
and that card's just bad.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, I don't think this is like that crazy. It's funny because you'd think there'd be a chance that there would be something else where you'd be like, oh, that's maybe the one, but really it just, like, I,
there's nothing better. Like, and this is kind of like the Young Power Master thing where I'm waiting for them to print a more iconic one drop white creature. Kithion was one that people brought up, but he hasn't really done anything.
Yeah.
Like Champion of the Parish has just won multiple GPs.
Yeah.
Kithion hasn't.
It's a real card. I mean, Sarah Ascendant. In Soul Sisters?
But I would say Champion of the Parish is in those same decks and does a better job in other decks. Like,
yeah, step
the inter, you know, just interchangeability matters. Like, right. I would say Leonid Arbiter is a better card than Thalia in the Hate Bears decks or the Death and Taxes decks, but Thalia is in seven different decks versus that, which is in one deck. So I would say all of the Soul Sisters kind of fall into that same category.
Hmm.
So those are the one drops. So it's Noble Hierarch, Goblin Guide, Death Shadow, Champion of the Parish, and Delver of Secrets.
Yeah, it's an easier list to make because it's harder for them to push one drops.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for them to take chances. Like, we talked about all the red two drops they've tried. Mm-hmm. Like a card like Harsh Mentor, there's a good argument when you look at that card on paper where you're like, this could be really good. Like,
right.
You're like, okay. And so if you're designing that card, it's like, I can understand the logic there. One, it's really hard to make a one drop competitive. Like, you don't want to miss. You basically don't want to make Deathrite Shaman. it's effectively what you're dealing with. Like, when you miss on a two drop, it becomes like a staple card. When you miss on a one drop, it becomes a card that has to be banned in like every format because it's just the power curve. Deathrite Shaman is an unfair, inherently unfair Magic card.
Yep.
You shouldn't have ever made it.
Cough banned in Legacy. Cough.
It's probably going to get banned in Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I coughed. I just had a bad cough.
Yeah,
okay. That was a really lazy version of that joke.
Yeah, cool.
What's funny is that one of these cards is in the top most played cards in Modern history, period. And that's Noble Hierarch. I mean, if you look at, like, I literally look at the top 10 most played cards in the format every single week for the last 3 years running, because it is part of being host of this podcast.
Yeah.
And the amount of time that the top five most played cards in Modern are Thoughtseize and or Inquisition of Kozilek, Serum Visions, Lightning Bolt, Fatal Push, and
Noble Hierarch.
And Noble Hierarch is just like all the time.
Yeah, well, it's funny
and
now.
Like, it's like there's like one of each color always.
Do you think it's funny that for the longest time when we talked about the iconic one drop spell, we would just be like, it's just Noble Hierarch. Like Ancient Stirrings has now become so good, it's actually just like on the level.
Yeah,
in
I
green.
Think that's true.
It took time, but it's like now actually just on the level.
Yeah, I think green we didn't even mean to have the iconic spell version of this conversation,
no.
But I think it would be Thoughtseize, Ancient Stirrings, Serum Visions, Lightning Bolt, Path to Exile.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now actually, does Fatal Push see more play than Thoughtseize?
No,
it doesn't.
And it's not. I would say it's not as format
defining.
Like Thoughtseize is the force of will of Modern.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just is.
like,
and especially now that Lightning Bolt is coming back, where Fatal Push is falling down because of the Bloodbraid Elf interaction.
Right.
Like Lightning Bolt A kills Bloodbraid Elf, but also when you cascade off of a Lightning Bolt, it's always good versus Fatal Push, which is only good when
you have to have
your opponent needs to have a creature.
Yep.
So that's one drops.
Do you have
any other comments on one drops?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Any shout outs we want to do before we get to three drops?
Quick shout outs before we get to three drops. I wanted to give a couple quick shout outs on the iTunes ratings and reviews, because you guys have been awesome about giving us great ratings and reviews. So Jace Kent back in February, Great Modern Knowledge is on the menu of this podcast. Dragon Mage 28, the modern format is such a diverse format, and these guys are great at breaking down the decks that are performing well and discussing exactly what makes them so strong. Love all the guests they bring on too. Thanks, guys. Keep giving us ratings and reviews on iTunes. We'll give you shout outs on here. It's a way for this show to keep spreading, and we appreciate that. And also, Alex founded a game company, a game and toy company. It's called Kesco. I also work for the company, so this is a shameless plug for the company. But there's a game called Super Party Battle. It's available now. It's like King's Cup meets Magic. Go check it out. You'll love it. That's what I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about three drops, the three drop cycle.
All right. So this is a lot more contentious, just in general. I have there's really one that is just 100% the card.
Okay,
it's blue.
Blue has a three drop and it's Vendilion Click.
Yes,
clearly.
Yeah, just
no question.
And the slight issue with that is it's the one. Once we get to the three mana spell slot, it's, you know, we talked about in red one of the problems we have with Eidolon of the Great Revel in two drops is that it's red versus red colorless.
Sure.
But in three drops, it's much harder to keep a consistent converted mana cost across these spells.
Right.
In my list, I have two mana of the color, one colorless, and I have one mana of a color and two colorless.
So before you start revealing, this is what I think I want to do, because you guys are listening and you're probably thinking to yourself, you had the two drop conversation, you've probably considered the one drop conversation, but you haven't thought about threes. I'm in the same boat. Alex prepared this part of the list without showing it to me. So V-Click, I guess. That's an easy guess.
We both have access to the Twitter thing. I posted this online like a week ago.
Yeah, but your like Twitter interaction is such a barrage of like just crazy. You're so argumentative that sometimes like if you get a Twitter thing going, I just can't even read through it. It's too much. It's too much.
Fair.
So I'm gonna try to guess right now.
Okay.
And just this will just be gut feeling guesses. Like these aren't educated.
All right.
So V-Click.
This isn't scripted.
Yeah, I'd go green.
But what's so to give you some clues, there's one not rare. Because that's the rule.
Okay. Well, so my guess in green would be Eternal Witness. That's just that feels like the green card. I could see like somebody saying Courser maybe, or like Tireless Tracker, but those don't feel like there is. Like Eternal Witness is like a forever magic card.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my guess in green. Black, I know it has to
do
be.
Do you want me to tell you as you're guessing per color, or do you want to wait till the end?
No,
I'll tell you per color.
I'll wait till the end. Yeah,
then I'm like listing off things that you didn't remember.
That's fine.
Okay.
This is the point of this is me guessing. Black, I know we're supposed to have a creature in black, but I think I'm just going to say screw that and say it's Liliana of the Veil.
You can't screw that. It has to be a creature.
Hey, that's my guess. Is Liliana of the Veil is the iconic black three drop. There's no like, that would be what I would say. Then in red.
There's even a black Liliana creature. You can just go with
a
that
red
one.
Three drop, I guess, would be Magus of the Moon probably is the best red three drop I can think of. And then in white, a three drop would be like Mirren Crusader or something, maybe. Those would be like my just gut feeling guesses.
Okay, so blue is Vendilion Click.
Yep.
you know, I had to pick rares for everything, and I could only have one uncommon. That was the rule I set for this.
Was I right
challenge.
That Eternal Witness is the uncommon?
No. I put Tyler's Tracker. Interesting. I think Eternal Witness is maybe easy to argue there, and if we want to get be not sticklers about this uncommon situation, you're probably right. But black doesn't have a good option at rare.
Sure.
White, Mirror, and Crusader, you're totally right.
Really?
Yeah, that was my pick.
That's funny.
I looked through it. There's not really a better one. Like, if you wanted to do the Planeswalker thing, I think Gideon is a better choice.
Sure, yeah.
And if we were three-drop permanent was the conversation, I think both, like, Planeswalkers sidle into a lot of these slots better than creatures
do. I think
do.
It feels like, the funny thing is, like, I know that it's supposed to be creatures, but the only reason I make the argument for Liliana is it feels so overwhelmingly like it's the three-drop permanent that you are playing if you're playing black that it's just, like, not even close.
One, like, Lingering Souls should probably be the three-drop for white if you really want to have a conversation about it, but these have to be creatures, so that's cheating. So I picked Stinkweed Imp instead of Liliana the Veil.
What? That's such an Alex Kessler. I can't even believe. Stinkweed Imp? Get out of here.
What? I mean, what other black creatures?
Messenger?
No,
I don't know.
That card doesn't see play in anything.
Stinkweed Imp?
Yeah,
give me a break.
It sees more play than Jeroth's Messenger.
That's ridiculous.
It is more of a conversation of there aren't better options, not necessarily that.
It's more of a conversation of what does Alex Kessler like to play in Magic, and Stinkweed Imp's
on the list.
Dredger's
a real card. Dredger's a real deck, and it is the best Dredger in Modern. Has been other than a year period where What's-His-Face was unbanned.
That's an absurd choice. It's an absolutely ridiculous choice.
I can't think of a better one.
I mean, I'll think about it, but...
You have a phone with Decked on it.
All right, I'll
So red, I picked... There's... Magus the Moon was obviously an option. It just doesn't see play in most decks, and Blood Moon is so much better, and me now saying this means that we should probably actually give our... five iconic red permanent or five permanent conversation.
Countryside,
but
Crusher, maybe
Goblin Rabble Master.
Okay, that's like actually like a pretty good, pretty fair.
Yeah, like when you limit it to creatures, most of these are VC play. They are the most played creatures of these color combinations, and they're maybe not the best of those that of a permanent in those colors, but they are by far the most played creatures of those colors.
Rabble Master is going to maybe get a bump. We're seeing Goblin support in Dominaria. And
War Leader.
We saw War Chief. Yeah. War Chief is getting a reprint. Yep. So, and
can we just get like Goblin Matron or
one of, like the really unfair, disgusting, broken ones?
No, that just did tutors for a Goblin. Like,
oh,
how good
yeah,
is
yeah.
tutoring for a Goblin in Modern?
I was thinking of
Recruiter.
The two drop.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It's a two drop? The goblin one that search for the looks at the top X cards and gives you goblins?
No. That's a different card.
That's Ringleader.
Yeah. Recruiter is the two drop from Visions.
Stack your deck with goblins. That's banned in Legacy.
Yeah, it's very good.
Well, it's not even very good. It's like top. It makes tournaments awful because you can just like, I'm going to take 20 minutes to put the exact order of goblins on the top of my deck.
And like Lackey. I mean, there's goblin cards that we're not going to get. Like,
yeah. I don't think we'll ever get Lackey. I think Goblin Matron is one that like...
They could think about. It's just a three drop, right?
It's just a three drop. It's a three drop that tutors for... We have the black one that puts it on top of your deck.
Yeah.
And like, maybe that's good enough, but if goblins is a thing more than Arak, and we'll figure that out later. But
we'll get there.
Goblin Rabble Master, really sweet. Does a lot of damage. Was like... The Bloodbraid Elf analogous card in Jund until Bloodbraid Elf got printed for a long time. I think it'll just see play regularly. That's and then Esh Champion for the artifact one.
That's like a totally fair three drop. Yeah. So,
but do you want to do our iconic three drop permanent?
Well, okay, game? Yeah, I do because like it's interesting, right? Like it, like I said, if we're gonna do that, then it's just like obvious that black is Liliana, and it's obvious that red is Blood Moon, right?
Yep.
Not even a conversation.
I would say Vanilla Click is definitively blue, the blue one. I think Blood Moon is definitively the red one. Liliana the Veil is definitively the black one. I think green could still be Tyler's Tracker. I think in the long run it'll be Tyler's Tracker. I think for now, if you want to make it Eternal Witness,
right?
Fine. But I think we're going to see Tyler's Tracker see a lot more play over the next X amount of time.
It's a really good card.
It's a key drop in Ponza decks. It's a key drop in Jund decks. Like it's seen play in multiple deck styles. Where Eat Witness really isn't anymore. And then white is Lingering Souls.
Yeah.
It just is the best white three drop.
It's
in the argument for best 20 modern cards of all time.
It's also not a white card necessarily. It is a white card, but it's not a white card. We've had this conversation before.
So the Gideon of the Trials?
Ugh. I mean, that doesn't seem like an actual...
That seems a lot of play.
Gideon of the Trials?
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit. Not on the level of Blood Moon or like... And in green, by the way, like...
I would say it's seen as much play as Vidillion Click has since it was printed.
Really? Gideon the Trials? Yeah. Three drop Gideon Planeswalker?
Uh-huh.
Huh. I guess I just don't pay attention to that card.
Because you don't like blue-white decks, Ben.
I hate blue-white decks. They don't have burn in them.
I pay attention because that's all, what I live for.
Yeah, it's true.
I want to do blue-white, stop your opponent from doing things, or I want to do green-black, do stuff with my graveyard things. Those are the only two things I want to do in Magic.
I know, and I want to do things that involve Mirror Superior. So there's that. So there you have it.
You like casting one and two drops and then only casting spells for the rest of the game.
Yes, and I like doing that, and I also like cheating things into play that are not like Emrakul's. I like cheating things into play that are like clever cards.
That are like 2/4.
Or like
if you could play a free 2/4, would you play it?
A free 2/4?
Yeah.
Like I can just play it on turn one for
zero? Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
You would have to jump through a hoop.
What would the hoop be? Start the game with 6 cards.
It would be a big enough of a hoop that your game plan is inhibited in a way. You had to build your deck specifically to be able to make it happen.
I do that already. That's a thing I do. So,
yes. What about a 2/1?
A free 2/1?
A free 2/1.
I mean, now you're just talking about things that I've tried.
Would you play a free 2/1 that you had to reveal your hand and you have to have no lands in your hand?
Oh, my God. You're saying like land grant the 2/1?
Yeah.
Yes. I would do it. I'd find a way. That sounds so sick.
So that's the iconics of each converted mana cost up till 4. We didn't do 4 because if 3 is hard, 4 gets way more difficult. I don't even know. Kalidus?
No, we can't even. The 4-drop conversation is just not a conversation.
Hellrider?
Yeah. There's like a couple, but like it's just there's not enough prominence.
Is there a 4-drop blue creature?
Like that's ever play.
Seen play in Modern?
It'd be Sower of Temptation, I think.
Yeah,
that's probably the... I mean, I think that's the card that...
Speaking of Sower of Temptation, the new wizard card that enters...
Oh, I know.
Doubles into the battlefield
effects. That's such a sick
that
effect.
That into Sower of Temptation is maybe the best.
No, probably actually the 4-drop that's seen the most play is Master of Waves. That's probably...
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. There you go. You found it. You figured it out.
Yeah. Cracked the code. So...
Cool.
That's today's episode, actually.
I know. We got 2 more colors. Oh, what's a 4-drop white spell? And Hellrider doesn't count. Okay, we should stop.
Yeah. I think there probably are cards that have seen play in each color, or at least in red, it would be a Planeswalker. It would probably
be Planeswalker. No Planeswalkers. Yeah,
then let's move on from this conversation. The 3-drop version of this already got convoluted.
Is there a red creature? Is there really not a 4-drop red creature that's, like, significant in any way?
Probably there is. I mean... If there is, though, it's like not something that sees
it. It would have seen play in Jund, and Jund doesn't play any of those. It plays Chandra. The 4-mana Chandra is the one.
Like a Ponza deck, or like,
which doesn't count.
Yeah, I think it's Planeswalkers, pretty much.
Yeah. White creatures.
It's like a goblin, or like a...
What's the you get 2/2/1 tokens. I've lost that card in Modern. The 3/4 that makes 2/2/1s and then battle cries every time it attacks.
Oh, Hero of Oxenridge?
Yeah, I've lost that card.
It's so sweet.
No, not Oxenridge.
Yeah, you're talking about Hero of Bladehold, the white one.
Yeah.
And then Hero of Oxenridge is the red version of
it. Yeah, but the red one's not good.
Yeah. Bladehold's a great card.
I'd rather play Hellrider than that.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not playing Hellrider.
No.
It's a 3/3.
You said it on the podcast already that you were going to play Hellrider, so. Tweet Alex, play Hellrider.
All right, so those are the 4-drops. I think that's it for this week's episode.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the conversation we wanted to have. You guys are going to hear this today, and because this will come out today. And then you're going to hear an episode really early next week. So these are both going to be a little shorter because we're recording them back-to-back because we have a preview card we're going to be giving you guys on
Monday. Yes, so our preview card next week is coming out on the
9th.
The 9th. So and make sure to pay attention to the 9th.
It hasn't been spoiled yet, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so we have a new one. It wasn't in the preview thing. Blake Rasmussen is the guy who kind of handles the whole preview season planning, was really nice to everyone and you know, emailed everyone basically being like, hey, you know, there's this leak happened. But we've had a lot of you guys write us being like, we want the, even though this happened, this card is awesome. Right. I want to preview
That's the card we want. Yeah.
And which is awesome with the Magic community at large, you know, that they were like really supportive of this. And this season is amazing. Earlier today I tweeted basically like, Garfield has worked on, I think it's a total of 14 sets, and of those, three of them aren't really sets. It's like Battle Dick 2000. And almost all of them are considered the most iconic sets of all time. It's like Tempest and
Innistrad.
Alpha, obviously, but Innistrad.
Yeah.
Ravnica 1.
Yeah.
Now Dominaria, and like this set is.
It looks
like
super
every card
sick.
That I see, like the art is cool, or. the story behind it is cool.
Yeah.
I'm just like so excited for this set.
And, super hyped.
And so
yeah.
Our preview episode, we'll be talking about it. But Blake, basically, you know, we messaged him being like, you know, we're a podcast. So the information that was previewed accidentally or leaked is the exact information that we're really able to provide to you guys.
Yeah.
We're not showing you a physical picture, so the art's not going to be there.
Yep.
And he found a really sick card that wasn't previewed, so we'll be able to share it with you guys. You guys are all going to be really excited.
It's going to be sweet. So stay tuned. You guys will hear that in just a couple days. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening. This is the Masters of Modern Podcast. I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter.
I'm at Kes Wiley, and you can probably use those pretty much on any social media.
Yeah.
Instagram. I recently changed my cover photo on Twitter to Kes the Magic Card.
That's sweet.
And Wiley Coyote, the Looney Tunes character.
That's funny.
Because that's my name. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, guys. As we said, check out...
All of the things.
You know what? The last thing I didn't mention, I alluded to it earlier. I do a show called Nerds and Suits Movies on Anchor. It's actually available on all podcast formats now. So it's on iTunes. It's on Alexa, you know, Google Play, Amazon, SoundCloud, anywhere you can find it. Just look up Nerds and Suits Movies. I give you news all through the week, and then I'm screening everything early now, so I review the movies throughout the week.
He gets to go to every movie a week early, which is terrible for me. Every friend that I've ever had that like I like going to see movies with has now started working in movies to the point where they get to see screenings. So now I don't have anyone to see movies with.
I know. It's a sweet thing, but it's also like when I think about going to the movies this weekend, I'm like, I've seen everything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay to go see Chappaquiddick a second time. Like, get out of here. Anyway.
Movie Pass.
Yeah.
AMC.
It's funny. I actually have Movie Pass.
And it's just not useful anymore.
I use it every once in a while. Okay. Like, if I miss a movie, it happens. So, anyway, that's it. Nerds and Suits, check it out, guys, if you want to support what I'm doing. It's also, I started a Twitter for it, at Nerds and Suits. That's what's going on. All right. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
On the 9th.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.